I think for all of us, in some form or fashion, we've all experienced headwinds in our lives. Headwinds have a way of slowing us down. They sap us of strength. Maybe they get us off course. Years ago, I used to love to ride my bike down the river trail to the beach, and it was on Saturday mornings I would do that. And from experience, I knew that if I left too late in the morning, I'd have to contend with the headwind that came off of the ocean. So I always had to time it just right, so I'd get down there in time before that started up, and then I'd always have, you know, the great thing, the tailwind on the way back. But it was getting down there, beat the headwind. Back in the early 1980s, I ran the Seattle Marathon, believe it or not. Did it actually twice. But the way that the course for the Seattle Marathon works is that the last 6 miles are right along, kind of heading towards what used to be the King Dome, but you're running along and there's always a headwind that comes off the Puget Sound up in that area. And so talk about kind of the wrong place, wrong time for a headwind. The last 6 miles to run directly into a headwind, trying to finish a run like that. Worst possible time. Now, headwinds aren't necessarily dangerous, but the thing about them is they do have a way of testing us, slowing us down. They have a way of just robbing us of energy and fuel. And two, life can dish out some pretty good headwinds in life. And you, maybe if you're in the middle of it, you feel like you're just spinning your wheels and you're not going anywhere. You go nowhere fast. And maybe you also lose sight of what you need to see, where you need to be. So physically, you get tired. Emotionally, you can get distressed because you know where you want to be, but you also know where you're at. And I think Jesus wants us to see and know him for who he truly is, as we kind of are rowing through life. And that's kind of what the gospel reading and lesson is all about today. In the gospel reading for today, the disciples are in a boat and they're in rough waters. They're not necessarily in extreme danger, but they're having a really rough go of it. They're stuck, they're off course. And then when Jesus showed up, they still really aren't sure who this man is. But Jesus showed himself and revealed himself to them and gave them a lesson. Now, what's interesting is Mark is not the only person that writes about this incident or this episode. But Mark, in his account, intends to connect the story with what just happened. And so as the text begins there, it's immediately. Well, immediately after what? Jesus had just, if you back up and you look in the larger picture there, Jesus had just fed the multitude. It was the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. And it was the end, and it was a very long and very tiring day. So Jesus compels his disciples. He says, "You get in the boat, you take off." And he sends them off, and then he goes up, it says, up the mountainside or up the hill to go pray. Now, the one side note that only, again, Mark brings up is it says Jesus sends them off to Bethsaida. He specifically mentions that, and that if you're looking at the Sea of Galilee, it's in the northeastern corner or the northeastern part of the lake. He sends them off that direction. They did what Jesus told them to do. They got in the boat and they took off. But during the night, the wind, they wind up in trouble. And they find themselves stuck out in the middle of the lake after hours of strenuous rowing. And they're getting nowhere. Rowing, no progress, adrift and tired. The one thing you have to know is that Jesus was the one that sent them out there. And I bet at this point in time, they probably really miss Jesus and regret that he's not with them in the boat. And sometimes it seems, the darkest of times when we can't sense Jesus' presence with us. And they're probably thinking, if only Jesus were with us, somehow or another, maybe things would be different than they are right now. So while kind of straining and stuck out there, you know, that's the situation. The disciples didn't know, but you come to find out Jesus' eye is on them. In verse 48, it says, he saw his disciples straining at the oars because the waves were against them. The disciples were straining. Again, note what's going on here. Jesus is up the hill. He's looking out. He's up there. They're out in the middle of the water. And the time, it's the fourth watch of the night, technically, it's between 3 and 6 a.m. They're stuck. But you come to realize that they never really truly are alone. Jesus knew where they were up to. He knew what was going on. And it says that he was moved to go out to where they were. And it says he wanted to, in a sense, quote unquote, pass by them. So we're out there kind of straining and stuck out there. Jesus passes by. And this interesting term, when you think about it, pass by, what does that mean, to pass by? It really meant, if you understand kind of how this idea is placed throughout Scripture, it means that he intends to reveal who he truly was. He desires that they would see his majesty, and he by that give them reassurance for who he is, who is passing by them. And Jesus did not walk on the water just as some kind of an amazing gimmick, just to wow his friends. Hey, guys, look at what I can do. It wasn't about that. He's more than a water walker, and he's more than a bread multiplier. So they're out there straining and stuck. Jesus passes by to reveal that, in a sense, he's not a gimmick, but the real deal. And this action reveals who he really is. And it becomes a revelation, a revealing, something that all of a sudden where the lights come on, where you could actually see and know him for who he truly is. A statement of Jesus' deity to confused disciples. And he wants to show a glimpse of his divinity, that he is God, that he's divine. And you think sometimes in our lives, you know, how many times in a sense God met us or kind of passed by per se in certain things going on in our life and we just don't see it or we don't recognize it, but there he is in sometimes very real ways. He cares about his disciples. He cares about us. He sees our distress and he comes to us sometimes when we can't even see him or maybe at times even recognize him at the darkest of nights. Sometimes in our lives, but he's there, very real, very present. So Jesus climbs into our boat. So now what? Now it's interesting that Mark also is the only one who includes this interesting statement that's in verse 52. And it says, "For they had not understood about the loaves." What is it they don't understand about the loaves? Again, we back up in that miracle. They knew the multitude had been fed with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but they failed to see the real point that really pointed to this person, Jesus, and who he was and what he had done. They missed the point. Because if they had understood the miracle of the loaves, they would have recognized Jesus' true identity and who he was. They saw the marvel. Look at all the food. And all these people fed. But they failed to recognize truly who was the one behind that. He fed 5,000 people physically that day with physical bread. But Jesus' death and resurrection will allow the whole world to eat of the bread of life and never hunger again. So Jesus' appearance on the Sea of Galilee is a sign that the living God has come nearer to us in this person of Jesus the Christ, the Son. And he wants us to be fully certain about who he is, the one that they had put their complete trust in. Why? Because he knew what was coming ahead in their own lives and in their future, and it was so important for him to understand who he was as they faced their future. Jesus never had the intention of just kind of just casually just going by them. There was a point that he wanted to demonstrate for them, a comfort. Even when we don't see Jesus at times, he sees us. And he knows what's going on in our lives in the greatest hour of need. So he comes into our boat, reminds us of who he is. Maybe it's a time of discouragement. Maybe it's time of fear, time of doubt. Again, Christ is there. And he wants to show us his love and power as we encounter him in those times that we would say those kind of times of troubled waters in our lives. He shows us how powerful he is and that he can deliver us from that which would destroy us. He came to be our Savior, to save us from sin and death. He delivers us from our need to fear and doubt. Because when we fail to recognize who Jesus really is, we fail to respond in the best and the correct way. But when we recognize who Jesus truly is, for who he is, we can respond in the proper way. And all of this kind of comes together when you look at the New Testament lesson for today. When you start looking now at that prayer that Paul prayed for those people in the city of Ephesus and for believers they're in Ephesians chapter 3. Because it was a prayer that people would truly know who God or who Christ is. A prayer that people would truly know their identity in Christ and what that meant. Why? As he said, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Dwell in our hearts. And dwell is a derivative of house. It means a permanent habitation in contrast with just like temporary living like you would in a tent per se. So here Paul wrote that Christ takes up permanent residence in those who believe in him as Savior, who have come to trust him for who he is. And he also says, never will I leave you. He never will leave us. And when our tap roots go deep into Christ's love, we tap into the very source of life itself. And then what flows up and out, he says, is his love. Knowing the love of Jesus brings a relationship with him that's beyond just a knowledge of him. The statement changes from Jesus is the Savior to Jesus is my Savior. I recognize my own need in my own life and what the need I have and what God has done for me, and I embrace that and I welcome that into my life. He's my Savior. And the more we grow in this, the more the dimensions of Christ's love exceeds our expectations, because we truly begin to continue to see what he's done. He's come to us. He invites us and also to come to him. Back to the guys in the boat. And then, again, another kind of cool sidebar that Mark brings up, because it says, where do they land? It says they land in Gennesaret. That's northwest. He sent them towards the northeast. They end up, because of everything else going on, in the northwestern part of the lake. And I guess the thing is, haven't we all at some point in time in life been blown off course by distractions? Things happen. The headwinds we face, the things going on in life, we kind of set off that direction, but now we end up in this place, in a different place than we had originally intended to be. But that's okay. Because he still says, hey, all right, let's start where we're at. And then when you start reading it, you see all the opportunities for ministry that came up because of where they ended up. He says, well, we'll take it from here. I can work from any starting point. You know, that's good news, because even if something does blow us off course in life, God's fine with that. All right, we'll pick up right here. Let's go and do ministry. Let's go and do life wherever we are. That's a great word of assurance. That's a great word of hope. So when we are physically tired because we're trying to strain through the headwinds of life, where maybe we're emotionally drained because we know where we are supposed to be and maybe we're not, we let Jesus get into our boat and we begin to recognize and know who he truly is. And so for all of us today, we can hear him speak to us and say, well, we'll just take it from here. There's always a new start. There's always a new beginning. There's always, let's pick up here. We will be faced with distractions in life, things that slow us down, keep us from where we always thought we would be. But we also know who's with us, regardless of maybe where we land at times in life, and know who is with us. Because he loves us, he cares about us, and he says, all right, it's not over yet. Let's continue. Good words for us today. Wherever we are, he's with us, and he'll do an amazing work. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.